Section 3, Conflicts on the Home Front. As you read, look for how the war affected families on the home front, those who resisted the war, the peace movement in the state, and the following terms: conscript, price gouging, buffalo, outlier, home guard, and peace movement. The Civil War, like the American Revolution, bred conflict within the state. Not every citizen willingly marched off to war. Almost 20,000 North Carolinians were conscripted. That is, they were made to join the Confederate Army. With so many men gone, some citizens took advantage of the soldiers' families. One woman along the Western Railroad sent a new hat to her husband in the Army. When it did not arrive, she went to the nearby train depot to investigate. She found the station master wearing the hat. Price gouging, charging a higher price than is fair, was a constant fact of the war, as money in North Carolina lost value. For example, a barrel of flour cost 30 times in 1864 what it had cost in 1861. Women in the war. The cost of war particularly strained families. To keep the army in the field, the state required every family to provide a tax in kind, a portion of all the produce grown on the family farm. This was difficult. In North Carolina, the men in more than half of the farming households had gone off to war. If the soldier was a husband, then the wife had the burden of doing both her job and his in planting, harvesting, and feeding the rest of the family. As one young woman in the West later recalled, "When the war commenced, this was our hard time." By 1863, many soldiers' wives had to seek financial help from their communities. In some counties, 25% of families received goods like cornmeal, bacon, or salt from the state. Women worked hard to preserve their families and protect their children during the war. When prices began to rise steeply in 1863, women participated in flour riots. A mob of females and a number of men in Salisbury demanded flour at a reasonable cost. When a merchant refused, the women broke down his door and took 10 barrels. Another group did the same thing in High Point. In Newton, Lavinia Wilfong, who had 6 sons in the Confederate Army, emptied barrels of whiskey to stop the disorder that drunkenness was causing in her town. Deserters and fugitives. Disorder spread across the state by 1863. In the Tidewater, groups of buffaloes, so-called because they were said to go about in gangs like buffaloes, hid in the swamps to avoid fighting for the Confederacy. Many citizens regarded them as thieves. A group of buffaloes broke into the Somerset Plantation and took clothes and other belongings. Some of the buffaloes actually went over to fight for the North. Once the Union had captured New Bern, it set up a new state government there and made Edward Stanley the Union governor for eastern North Carolina. He soon recruited both whites and blacks to fight for the North. Throughout the East, slaves left the plantations and fled to the Union lines. When a Union force moved through the Albemarle region in 1862, more than 2,000 refugees came under Union protection. Thousands of escaped slaves crowded the streets of New Bern by 1863. Some of the escaped men then joined the Union Army. The West was even more disorderly than the East. In the Juarez, a majority had opposed secession. There, groups similar to the buffaloes went by the name Outliers because many of them were lying out in the woods to avoid being conscripted into the Confederate Army. Outliers were soon going from house to house, said one Randolph County farmer, killing dogs and chickens and stealing eggs. These groups sometimes numbered in the hundreds. They often fought skirmishes with the home guard, the older men of a county who were charged with defending their neighborhoods. In the Juarez, many unhappy citizens joined the Heroes of America, a society organized by former UNC professor Benjamin S. Hedrick to help men desert the Confederate cause. Because membership was treason, members kept the fact a secret, revealing themselves to one another by sewing a thin red thread in their jacket collars. The red strings were so numerous in the Juarez that more than 10,000 people attended a rally on the day after the Battle of Gettysburg. They celebrated July 4, 1863, by running a United States flag up a pole. disorder was so bad by late 1863 that General Hoke came with Confederate troops to arrest the bushwhackers. He rounded up more than 4,000 men and sent them back to the army. Fighting among North Carolinians was the most vicious in the mountains. Outliers controlled the brushy mountains for most of the war. In Yadkin County, a group of conscripts barricaded themselves in a schoolhouse and fought off the home guard. A band of 500 outliers roamed Wilkes County. They were organized and drilled regularly. When the home guard tried to stop them, more than one battle was fought. The area around Asheville was deeply divided. The worst episode came in Madison County, where Confederate troops shot 13 old men and boys believed to be outliers, the most brutal mass murder of prisoners in state history. This made resistance to the Confederacy even stiffer in some mountain coves. The fierce fighting in the mountains continued until the war ended. History by the Highway, Egypt Coal Mine. Coal was not found often in the North Carolina mountains. The best vein ever tapped in the state was in Lee County, northeast of Sanford. The Egypt Mine was later renamed the Cumnock after the Civil War. Almost its entire production was used by locomotives during the 19th century. Section 3 continued. The Peace Movement. As the Confederacy struggled to continue, some North Carolinians concluded that secession had been a bad idea. They rallied around the leadership of William W. Holden, a prominent newspaper editor. Holden had originally favored secession. When he saw the suffering in North Carolina, he changed his mind. Holden was particularly angry that North Carolina provided so many resources to the war effort, yet had little role in the leadership of the Confederacy. After the Battle of Gettysburg, Holden began to urge the state to seek a separate peace with the North. The proposal soon grew into a peace movement. Holden became such a critic of the Confederacy that Georgia soldiers passing through Raleigh came to his office and destroyed his printing press. Opposing Holden throughout the war was Zebulon B. Vance, who had been elected governor in 1862. Vance, who grew up near Asheville, had been the rising star of North Carolina politics during the 1850s. He was said to have been the best speaker ever heard in North Carolina. Early in the Civil War, Vance became the first commander of the regiment trained by Henry Burgoyne. He was so popular in the state that he was elected governor while still in the army. He was the soldier's candidate. As governor, Vance sympathized with those who thought North Carolina was being unfairly treated. He particularly quarreled with the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. Vance insisted that all supplies raised in the state go only to North Carolina troops. He worked as hard as he could to make the state's soldiers comfortable. He led an effort to use the resources of all the state's factories and foundries, places where iron and steel are made into useful items, to supply state regiments. Vance adamantly, strongly, opposed the peace movement. He argued to citizens across the state that a separate peace meant submission to the North. The consequences could include the execution of public officials, confiscation of slaves, and higher taxes. And North Carolina would have to fight off a new enemy, for the other southern states would turn against their former ally. In the election of 1864, Vance and Holden were the two candidates for governor. Vance won majorities across the state. Holden received most of his votes in the Uwharries and Brushy Mountains, where anger at the Confederacy was the highest. Fewer than half of the eligible men actually voted. Although Vance got most of the soldier vote, only one-third of them bothered to cast their ballots. Low turnout may have indicated just how upset North Carolina was over the war. Governor Vance, thus, continued to lead a divided state until the North put an end to resistance in 1865.